Look at that. We're on the air, Jan.
Hey, yeah. This time I remembered to record. What do you know? Hey, welcome everybody to the 34th annual or semi-weekly or whatever you want to call it, weekly Sound Broker Mastermind Roundtable, where we discuss all things industry related so that we will survive these tough times and be here when we get out. And that's about it. Remember, everything that we say here is an opinion. If you want to make sure that it's fact, do your own research. But we are an open forum where we talk and assist one another in making it through these tough times. So if you want to save some money on a psychiatrist, come on in, talk what you want. Nobody's listening anyway, so you could say whatever it is you want. That's what I look at it. And having said that, we got our first compliment review. But before I go into that, I just want to say what we're going to cover today. We're going to cover PPP, SBA, COVID vaccines, planning for the future, save our stage, current events, and anything else that pops into our mind, including somewhere on the show, we're going to talk about chicken sandwich wars, which, you know, for us people that are on the road, it's a good thing to know about. So with that, so we did get what we did get a review, and I am so pleased. So remember, if you like it, or you don't like it, still give us a thumbs up on Facebook or YouTube. And but anyway, listen to this, guys, you're gonna love it. Hello, I'm going to move this over here so I could look. Hello.
And I'm. Where are you reading this from, Jan? Is that YouTube?
No, this is an email I got.
Okay,
I think it's an email. I'm pretty sure it was an email. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Jan Landy. Just thought I would send an email. I've been watching the Mastermind Roundtable, most of them are enjoyable. Entertaining to hear everyone's thought in COVID world where electrons are not being transferred into noisy air movements as much as usual. Anyway, hopefully everyone will get to the end of COVID safely. All the best. Thanks from, his name is Wayne Sims, with a small amount of regional audio goodies from Wagga Wagga. If I happen to have some spare money, I may purchase a console mid-market, blah, 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 blah. Thanks so much. And so, whoa. So guys, we are doing it. We're actually out there doing it, getting people one review. It's like a miracle to me. It's just like
amazing. A hey now.
I'm really happy about that.
Okay. Yeah. When somebody takes the time to write, that means they really felt positive about it, right?
Yeah.
What's a good deal on a console?
Well, I wish I knew where he can get one. That's all I can say.
Yeah, he's buttering you up. That's it.
You won't find it a Sound Broker.
Yeah. Well, you know,
on,
I actually
isn't shipping the 96 HD already. Come on. Yeah. You don't have 12 of those sitting in Vegas.
No, I have nothing sitting in Vegas right now except for some Abbott parts, but that's not what this show is about. This show is about anything but selling gear. This show, I try to keep this show very, very light from a standpoint of, there's so many other shows that you could talk about, the benefits of microphones, specific microphones, specific amplifiers, consoles, speaker systems, and you know, everybody's got their opinion. One thing I did find out over the years of selling equipment to people, that whatever brand that they have, any brand that they have, that's the brand that they believe in. And they can figure out a million ways to express to you why that brand is the best brand there is out in the world. So that's why I never got involved in recommending anything, because I believe that people know what they want. And if they have it, they've already convinced themselves that that's the best. And as we all know, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So don't want to change their mind. I just want to provide it what it is that they want. So how is everybody this week? Has everybody had a good week? Everybody still here? I want to welcome back Mr. David Dansky, and let's give him a hand. He survived a very, very tough time there in the hospital, non-COVID related, I might add. But David, are you here? Are you here, or are you sleeping? There you go. Hey, so
I even listened to this while I was lying in the hospital bed. That was fun.
That's cool. Did it help you make it through, or did you wish you would get some more morphine?
It helped me go to sleep.
That's cool. That's fun.
It's good to be useful.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, the Small Business Association, they're now opening, they're opening up the loans again. I've already been notified by multiple different companies this time around that that the SBA is now ready to do that second round. Has anybody else been approached by any banks or anything like that?
Well, I got an email from B of A, but then when I went on the SBA website, it said, we want to cater to small local banks. So you have to apply here to be connected with a small local bank. Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a link right now to the SBA.gov document program. And in this link, you will be able to see, you will be able to see how you can look up what's available to you as an individual or as a business. And so all everything that you possibly need right now, it's www.sba.gov/documents. And so you'll figure it out from there. But the link is in the show notes. The U.S. Small Business Administration is hosting a webinar too, which is kind of interesting. And
but that's in the past. That's in the past because it says at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, which is 3 hours ago or so ago.
Well, actually, they're constantly.
Oh, for those of you who are covered, there'll be a SBA webinar on the 14th also.
Yeah, and basically this one, it's for it's basically for Save Our Stages, and it deals with the Save Our Stages Act. And so you have to sign up through Everbright. It's a Shuttered Venues Operation Grant, and that's tomorrow, the 14th at 3 p.m. So you might want to put that into Eastern. Your. What was that?
3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 12 o'clock Western. You know, the other coast, the left coast. So does anybody know anything about that other than what I just said?
I'm about to put the link in the chat.
Good. Shuttered events, shuttered venue operators grants.everbright.com. So
yeah,
anyway,
that doesn't apply to too many people here, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that has to be a venue. That's the way I'm understanding that. It's not somebody that's supporting a venue.
That's correct, but I sent it to every single one of my venue customers.
Wow, is that COVID Bevan I see there? I see a COVID Bevan on the camera. Is that like you growing a what's that guy's name, beard? The Grizzly, McGrizzly beard?
Yeah, I figured out how the camera works between this week and last week, so yeah.
All right, very cool. Wow, wow, you
Richard,
got quite a beard going there,
you,
Richard.
I never remember you to be that handsome. Unbelievable. Yay, whoa.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Looking like that guy, I don't usually.
You're right.
I think we've gone off the rails now. That's good.
Well, I have a serious question about that, about the PPP loan. I bet Mike Brown knows the answer to it. Can I ask the question, Jan?
Yeah, please. Why are you asking me?
So I just want to make sure I wasn't interrupting a thought. So on that loan application or whatever they call it, the PPP application, it clearly says, what's your payroll? Okay, sure. So let's say, for argument's sake, I put in there $1,000 just to name a number. And then it says, multiply that times 2.5, and that's how much of a PPP loan you can get. Well, why is it times 2.5? 2.5, that's your monthly payroll times 2.5. That's not 24 weeks. I thought this was good for 24 weeks. That's my question. Is it good for 8 weeks or 24 weeks?
Oh, anybody have an answer?
The 8 versus 24 week is how you use it, not how you calculate it. Because on the first round of PPP, originally you could, after 8 weeks of using that money, you could then apply for forgiveness. And then they said, well, can we extend it to 24? And then it went to 24. But the formula also changed for round 2. In that it is your average monthly payroll for the entire year of 2019 plus January of 2020, as opposed to in round 1, I want to say you picked a period. I forget exactly now because it's been a while, but you picked some sort of 2-month period or quarter. I don't recall now. Yeah, so the numbers have changed. It's not the same program again. This is a brand new program that just happens to have the same name.
So what's the 24? I don't understand the 24 week aspect of it.
Okay, so, I can explain something. Okay, so originally, when I know this because I just got a call from SBA today, and as you all know, and I'm not going to dwell on this right now, Bank of America and I are warring over the original SBA loan, whereas the SBA is saying, "Yes, this is a good loan, everything's good." Bank of America says, "We're taking that money because we don't think it's a good loan," and yet another department of the SBA, or Bank of America, called me today to tell me, "Hey, we need you to finalize the paperwork so that you can, so we could give you forgiveness." So I want to go into that. So basically the reality is this: I applied for eight weeks of payroll, but what they did was after they did the initial round of the 8 weeks, they changed the legislation to cover 24 weeks. So now I can go in and redo my first loan to cover 24 weeks. And the benefit of that is that the money that I borrowed or through this program will now be stretched out over 24 weeks of payroll. So if my 24 weeks of payroll match the money that they gave me or exceeds it, I don't have to add my mortgage or any of the health insurance expenses or any of the other expenses that were needed to get the loan forgiveness. But also, one other thing is I'm going to put this link in there too, from Fundera, and I'm not really sure about this, but I got this through the SBA, the link, is that the new forgiveness application for the PPP now is $50,000 or less. So if you borrowed $50,000 or less, they're going to forgive your loan, just fill out the forms. And that link is in the chat as well. So yeah, so Mike, take it over from what you were saying.
So if that's 24, so the problem I have with that is it's still only 2.5 times your monthly payroll from 2019, right, Mike?
Average monthly payroll 2019 plus January 2020 times 2.5 or 3.5 if you're a NAICS code 72.
Which I'm not, so I don't think. Anyway, what is that code? Okay.
NAICS code 72 would be a venue.
Oh, okay, got it. So then, I just don't understand how could you possibly have 2.5 months of payroll cover 24 weeks of payroll? I guess because you had wanted to reduce your payroll per week, and so you can stretch it out over 24 weeks. Is that it? But that is not very much money, is the point.
Yeah, that they're offering. I would agree with you on the point, and I would hope you're not asking me to decipher how Congress thinks.
Yeah, pretty screwy.
I think they're busy today. I think
Congress, I don't have that skill set.
But so who's a business owner here that has some ideas? We've got a few business owners in the room. Who's got a better grasp on this? Who spoke to anybody that really knows what they're talking about?
I guess my bank saying that they're now taking applications, but the SBA won't take it from them until the 18th.
So is that right?
Which is the opposite of what I had the conversation I had with Wells Fargo, because the SBA website says they're taking applications today for round two applicants. And Wells Fargo said, we're not accepting them for another week, which plays into what Ken said, that they're trying to push it to smaller banks to begin with.
Part of it was they opened it up for the first time people this week. And then they're pushing the other stuff to later. My bank called me and just said that they rolled over mine in the account, and they said when it opens back up, then they'll let me know and I'll come in and drop in the additional paperwork and we'll go with it.
But isn't it basically the same calculation as last time? Wasn't it the same?
It was all the same. They said it's just the same account. All I got to do is this one form that says that gives me any quarter of 2019 against any quarter of 2020 and make sure that I'm less than 25%.
Right. Wow. And so I guess if I paid myself a minuscule amount, but times 24, it equaled the amount that I borrowed, then that could work in my favor, yeah. I guess.
You only have to get to 60%.
Only have to get to 60%. Okay, well, there you go. So if I, in 24 weeks, I got to 60%. In other words, I pay myself a minuscule amount and still collect unemployment because I didn't get paid very much or something. Who knows?
Okay.
I just want to have my cake and eat it too. Okay, Jan, can I please have that?
Yeah. And if you were dating a woman named Edith, you could have Edith and your cake too as well. But so anyway, but one thing I wanted to say, and that is I got this letter from the SBA, you know, because I'm dealing with it on this other issue. So the woman at the SBA is really trying to help me. And she sent me an email that basically says, now you can directly apply at a company called dreamspring.org. And they are opening up their application. This is what she said. The new round of PPP goes live at 9 a.m. And that was yesterday. So, or actually Monday, it went live at 9 a.m. And I did confirm that DreamStream, through a nonprofit specializing in small business lending, has their portal open and ready to accept new applications. So you could apply at www.dreamspring.org. If somebody wants to look at that, Mike Brown, if you want to look at that, he's not even there, is he? Anyway, if somebody wants to open up, look at it, and or Tina, maybe you want to get to it and see what if there's anything that you could come back with that would, you know, be of value to our group, that would be great. All right. So that's what we'll have on that. All right. So how many people here in the room are going to be applying for it? I mean, is anybody going to apply for it? I know I am. You know, the people who are deaf cannot see your hands up. That's what I found out. I don't know how that's possible, the people who are deaf, right? That's right. People who are blind, nor the people who are deaf. So either blind or deaf people couldn't hear what you had to say.
We're sound guys, aren't we? How can we be deaf? It's like having Braille at the drive-through. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, right?
That scares me. I tell you, that really scares me.
Don't get me started on that one.
No, you're started. That's it. You're started. We need to fill up
looks
an
like,
hour.
Looks like the DreamSpring website is not coming up on my computer. Must be overloaded.
I would.
What do you think? Is anybody else having any success? Yeah, the site cannot be reached.
I'm honestly just
It's .org, Kenny.
Oh, .org. Okay, thanks.
DreamSpring. Funding business dreams, vitalizing communities. That's what it says. 26 years of growing together. So they are one of the official partners, evidently.
There they are. Apply for PPP loan. That's
they
me.
They even have a tab, PPP facts. Let's see if there's any facts here that we can give. What is the paycheck program? What is the 2020? How much can I request on a second draw loan application? And they've got videos. So yeah, I would highly recommend this page. I'll throw this right now into the chat. And so those people that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, we will try to get this link into the chats later, or maybe not. And then you realize why you really should be in this meeting, the Zoom meeting, at the time the meeting is taking place. But basically, so this is all the information, and it seems like it's done in a very, very, very precise manner. So there it is. So enjoy it. And there's a hot tip from one of us to one of you. All right. What else is next on our agenda? Did I happen to mention that there's $8 billion involved in this program? So there should be enough money for enough of us to get by.
I wonder. That could go very quickly.
Yes, it can. And by the way, just going back to the webinar aspect of it, the Small Business Administration is hosting that webinar. I guess it's tomorrow, and they're going to be allocating $15 billion towards the live business. So that's pretty good as well. How could it be $15 billion for the live business and only $8 billion in round one? That doesn't make any sense. These numbers must be skewed. Anyway, moving on. So let's talk about the vaccine. We have somebody in the room that has been vaccinated. So we have a real guinea pig in the room. Tom, you want to talk about it? Oh, well, I guess he doesn't. All right.
I do. I'm unmuting right there. Sorry. So as you guys are probably aware, at least in the state of California and probably in your state as well, each county is handling the rollout differently. And so in LA or in California, they're going by the CDC rankings, which is 1A, 1B, 1C, and then 2, and then 3. And so different counties in California have opened up the vaccination process based upon your based upon those ratings. And Orange County and LA County, because they have vaccines on hand and they have the infrastructure to deliver them, opened it up on Sunday. I immediately set an appointment, there was appointments available on Wednesday, so I grabbed one and had the Moderna vaccine this morning at 10 a.m. Didn't feel the shot, no soreness, no after effects. It's the easiest shot I've ever gotten, frankly. I didn't even
know. But you got that Band-Aid on your shoulder there. What's up with that?
Yeah, they give you a Band-Aid. It was a cute nurse, so I accepted
it. So what's the requirements, though? You just anybody can do it?
So it's based upon the CDC categories. So there's the category one is all health and frontline workers. 1A, 1B, 1C. Because of the COVID work that I've been doing, and I'm now considered a head safety supervisor, and I'm capable of delivering the antigen tests, which I've been doing several hundred of in the last week or so. I qualified under the 1C category in Los Angeles, but I understand as of today, they're opening it up to 65 and over in LA County and Orange County. So that's the two group. So what you have to do is go to your county website, see what your specific county has going on. And I would check it every day.
You have to live in that county, right? Because I mean, like I was able to take a free test in LA County, even though I'm a resident of Ventura County.
You don't have to live there. You have to make an appointment there.
Okay.
Yeah, and what you do is you show up with your phone, you have your appointment on your screen and your identification, and they match that to your appointment and they put you in line. I waited about 30 minutes in line. Wasn't bad. So that's my story. And so I'm halfway
there.
Very
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, and do they at that time schedule an appointment for your second shot?
They do not set up a second appointment. That's your responsibility.
So you have to go through the same process again.
Yeah, and for the Moderna, it's 28 days from today.
Yeah. Now, maybe I missed this, but how did you get to the front of the line? Because basically, you are not 65.
Right.
He's older than 65.
I'm 68.
Well, you're 68.
Yeah, I'm not 65. But I didn't qualify. I first signed up in the 1C category. Because I'm a COVID cop. So because I have my COVID compliance certification and I have my antigen test certification, I can give antigen tests. So I qualified under the 1C category, but as of today in certain counties in California, 65 and older can go in and get vaccines. Yeah. So just check your county and see what they're doing.
Now, I have a question for you in regards to that, because in Nevada right now, what they're doing is you have to fill out a survey and then they notify you. And I'm sure every state is different, but in California, you were able just to go on to the line.
No. I went online. I answered their questionnaire. I put in my information and they told me the requirements and I met the requirements. And so I booked the appointment and then they tell you what you need to show up with. If you're in the 1A, 1B, 1C category, you have to show up with a letter from your employer proving that you do what you say you do. And you have to have an identification and you have to have your appointment on your phone. Those are the three things that were required of me this morning. But as I understand it today, they're opening it for 65 and older. So all you got to do is show up with your appointment and your driver's license or a passport or some form of ID.
Yeah, certain states have already opened up. I was noticing that most states now are going to 65 because basically the administrations are now saying that they want to get everybody vaccinated with at least the first shot, and they'll worry about the second batch, so they're not holding anything back right now, which is I think is a really good thing that we could all get shots, because the sooner we all get vaccinated, the sooner we could all go back to work and feel much more comfortable about that.
I agree with you.
You know, so while we're on the subject of vaccine and COVID, maybe you could tell people a little bit about what you're doing with Guy Fieri, because that's basically what you've been doing right now, and how you've transcended from being a world-class sound engineer to being a world-class COVID vaccine supervisor.
It's a long, hard climb to the middle in the audio world, as I am fond of saying, long, hard climb to the middle. So what I did is I decided to get back in the game in some way. And on one of our calls, one of your calls, Soundbroker call about a month ago, do you remember, we had a couple of production people saying that they went and got their COVID compliance certificates.
Bobby Schneider.
Yeah, right. And so I went, well, let me look into that. And so I used the link that was posted, went, took the course, relatively simple, passed the course. Then I did the follow-up two HIPAA courses because you have to kind of know the rules for regarding HIPAA. And within 48 hours, I was hired to do a gig. Did my first gig and realized that our production experience is perfect for this job, because initially they were hiring nurses to do all of this stuff, but nurses don't understand production. They understand swabbing, but they have no idea what's going on in production, nor are they used to working at the speed of production and the various changes that occur moment to moment. So our background, all of us on this call, our background is perfect for this kind of work because we understand what production looks like. After the first gig, I was asked to take on more responsibility. There's two categories. There's the HSO, which is the health safety officer, which is what I started at. 2 weeks later, I was a head safety supervisor. So, I have a staff of people working for me, including nurses and other HSOs, and I manage the site and the protocols and the flow of testing. So last week I was in Santa Rosa for 9 days, and I was very excited about this because not only were we doing RT-PCR tests every 3 days, which is really essential for production, mm-hmm. we were doing antigen testing every day. So I did hundreds of antigen tests, and that's a rapid test. So out of the hundreds of tests I ran, I actually captured one catering person as positive first thing on Wednesday morning, which proves the value of that process. It's not cheap to do what I'm talking about, because the RT-PCR tests are a couple $100 each. The antigen tests are about $110 each. So we're burning $5,000-$6,000 a day in testing, but the production determined it was worthwhile, because we were at Guy Fieri's house with his wife and kids there. So, there's like 30, 40 people on his property, and they wanted to make sure that everybody every day was tested before they came on the property. So that's where I was, up north of Santa Rosa for 9 days doing that.
So just curious, Tom, when you got that positive results from that one, did you also then test them again a few minutes later to make sure that it wasn't a false positive?
I isolated him. I isolated him, set him aside, waited 10 minutes, tested him again, got a second positive result. And also the antigen machine that I have, I calibrate it every morning. I have a positive negative test for the machine itself before I run any other tests. So I did a second test, but I knew immediately by the color of the cassette swab, I kind of knew immediately that he was going to test positive. They're like a pregnancy test that have a control marker, and then a second line shows up if you're positive. And it takes about 5 to 7 minutes. It's awesome. It's an awesome test. And so then what you do is you follow up with a full PCR test to confirm, which we did for the guy, and it was positive as well. So it gave me a lot of confidence that that process, that double tiered process, was very effective. And this is the caterer who's handing out the food. So we caught him before the morning breakfast, because just imagine what would have happened by that evening.
Good job.
The problem with just doing a PCR test is we wouldn't have known until that night that he was positive. The antigen test captures everybody right off the bat. So,
but it's only so accurate, right? I mean, the accuracy ratings of that test is less than the accuracy. I think
it's up in the 70%-ish accuracy. You wouldn't want to rely upon that solely, which is why we do a three-day cycle on the PCR test. But it certainly captured this guy. And this guy tested negative on Monday, negative on Tuesday, positive on Wednesday. That's why you run a three-day cycle. Because you know, he was partying with his buddies on the weekend, and it didn't show up until Wednesday. And there's the issue.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I had tested this guy the previous two mornings, and the third morning, sure as hell, there he was, positive.
So he went home with his leg, with his tail between his legs, and out of there. Huh?
Thankfully, he drove by himself, and you know, he went home, and then we set up contact tracing for him, and you know, he was asymptomatic. Also, by the way, no temperature, no fever, no cough, no nothing.
And did you follow the progress of that? Like 5 days later, was he still asymptomatic?
Asymptomatic.
No
May
kidding.
I ask what the age group was in that? What age group he was in?
He was in his early 30s.
And that's what they say right now. It's like 60% of all the people spreading this are asymptomatic under 40 years old. That's what I'm hearing now. Do you hear that as well?
Yeah. And particularly in that community, in the Hispanic community up in Santa Rosa, they have a 40 to 60% infection rate going on right now, because a lot of them live together, and it's crazy.
It sounds like you wouldn't even know that you had it if you got no symptoms.
He did not know he had it. Without testing, you never would have known.
And but yet he gets somebody else sick with it, and they might have a different reaction to it, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the age range on the set was probably, you know, 28 to 70. So that upper category, you're worrying for people's lives at that point.
Well, it seems to me the scariest part about this whole virus business is that you don't know if you get it, how bad it's going to affect you or affect the ones that are close to you. Some people are asymptomatic, and then some people are immediately rushed to the hospital, get on ventilators, and some make it and some don't. But that's the scary part. If you get it, how bad is it going to be for you? I know people that have just looked like they've got a common cold. Some people had it, didn't even know they had it. And I know a few people that have passed away from it. So that's exactly the scary
part.
For
me, Jan. I know people our age, my age, who got it, felt like they had a cold, were over it in a few days. And I know other people I know three people now who died, dead, gone. Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, who knows how your cardiovascular system and your respiratory system is going to respond to this particular virus.
And even the doctors cannot predict, right?
No. I mean, they know some things. They know some underlying conditions are more serious than others. You know, diabetes, heart disease, lung damage. Those things tend to create more problems. But it's a roulette wheel, man. And I don't want to be on that one myself, personally.
You know, I want to say something. I want to add something, because I've just gone through this experience. I'm still going through this experience. As you know, my best friend passed away from COVID-related. And I'm learning a lot, because I'm dealing with I was his closest person other than his brother. But his brother, although his brother is the legal representative, I was the one who was the closest person to this, to Peter. And what I realized from this is there are certain things that if you're not taken care of and you pass away, your next of kin really is going to be at a disadvantage if you don't have certain things in easily graspable for them. Certain things like, for example, a birth certificate. That birth certificate may come in very handy if you don't have it. Or your bank accounts. Where are your bank accounts? So many different aspects of your passport, for example, if you're traveling. So I've made a decision that I'm going to put together a list of things that you really need as a human being. What is that, Tom?
It's a complete book of all the documents related to everything that I have in case I transition. So this is a thoughtful thing to do for those who are left behind. So, and I update it every year. So that's what this is.
You don't put that in
memory. In memory of Thomas Source.
You don't put that in the safe? I would keep that in the safe because, if a robber breaks into your house.
My guns are in my safe, brother.
They don't do you any good if you got to go into the safe to get those guns, man.
Well, there's one or two that are not in the safe, but they're in the...
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's not give out your address. He lives in Chino, California.
I live in South Central. Come on by.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Tom?
So the big question is, how do you get those gigs? I mean, I took the COVID course online, the 23 question 2-hour course for $50, and that signs me up on some list, but that certainly doesn't get me any gigs, right?
Just like everything. Well, first of all, you could let me know that you've got your compliance certification, and I could give you a name to contact so that they'll add you to the roster. So
cool.
So consider that done, brother. But it's really just like everything else. It's networking. That's it. You just got to pick up the phone and start calling people and let them know you're available. If you're waiting.
Yeah, I thought about that. And I thought, what kind of people am I going to call? And what kind of people am I going to call? Producers that normally produce corporate events?
No. A couple of them. So the only thing working right now, not this week or next week, but that was working is TV and film in Los Angeles. That was it.
So I know exactly zero people in that industry, don't I?
Right. That's not true. There's corporate stuff happening. There's definitely corporate stuff happening. Not a lot, but some.
Yeah, I mean around here right now. And TV and film shut down for a week or two. But I can hook you up and get you on a roster with a company that's placing people regularly.
Wow, well, that's awesome. I'll certainly take you up on that.
Yeah, happy to help you. And the other thing is, with our production experience, it's valuable because we look at things differently, and I feel like I'm helping them be safer, so they can keep working, because I understand how the production functions, and I know what to look for. I know where the weak points are going to be. Because we all do. That's what we've done our whole life, right? You know, we've done production. So it's a really valuable piece of knowledge to come in the door with, instead of coming from the nursing side or the EMT side. They don't have that production. They don't understand the speed of production process, you know?
Well, one of the things they mentioned and made a strong point for in the test, in the training that I did, was they said, if you've never been on a film set before, you really need to get some experience being on a film set in order to do this job. And not having been on a film set to speak of, I thought, okay, maybe I should shy away from this, you know?
No. You'll come in as a second or third, you know, and within a day or two, you'll go, oh yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's the same kind of stuff we do, only different nomenclature. You know, electrics is grips, you know, okay, big deal.
Okay.
It's production and you'd have it in a day or two, really.
Very cool. Thanks.
That's cool. So now, Richard, you mentioned the corporate stuff. Are you finding that you need a COVID compliance officer on your jobs as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually up to the production company or the end client to provide that, and various, you know, people deal with it in different ways. Some do it really well, some do it not so well. So it's really kind of all over the map. There's services out there that do it. I mean, we had one got canceled that was up in San Jose in December where they're going to be on site for 3 weeks, and they had the crew getting tested every day, you know, in the hotel where they had a studio set up. Mm-hmm. And then once the crew was in the ballroom, they couldn't leave. They couldn't even, I mean, if you were a smoker, they didn't want you on the job because you had to be in that ballroom without leaving for, you know, 10 to 16 hours. And you know how smokers are, they're sneaky. They'll try to get away to, you know, to sneak one out, and they get caught, they're out, you know? So, and so, like I said, there's various ways of doing it. Some do it really well. Some do it, you know, somewhat half-assed.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, also, if I'm correct, wasn't the LDI awards today? Did I misunderstand that? Was there an LDI award that you guys were you were producing?
Yeah, the first one was that. Yeah, the first one was that. Yeah, today there's one tomorrow, and then on Thursday. I'm sorry, on Friday. Friday is the live event concert sector. Today was live broadcast, having to do with lighting and content and things like that for live broadcast, and it's 100% virtual. It was, you know, through our, virtual platform, that we have, and it went off well. I don't know if anyone else here saw it.
Well, didn't it start at 3 o'clock like this meeting did?
No, 3 o'clock Eastern. So,
it was I totally blew it. Okay. I was thinking it was 3 o'clock Pacific. Oh, yeah,
there's two more you can check out. And then, and like I said, the one on Friday is the one that this group would enjoy the most.
Yeah. Cool. If I thought for 1 second they were interfering with our time zone, I would have definitely called them up and told them to cancel. So, you know, they have it. So
I'm sure they would have moved it for you, Dan. Absolutely.
East Coast time. That's right. It was very nice of them to do that. They'll do that thing. So anyway, so who in the room wants to say something? I mean, somebody like, you know, who hasn't participated yet so far today, and that has something to share. Somebody that, you know, Tim, you're usually good for sharing. Paul, you have something you want to share?
Yeah, I got the vaccine today. I'm real happy about that.
All right. Now, did you get a Band-Aid too? Did they give you a Band-Aid as well?
I think got a Band-Aid. I think it fell off in the pool.
Did you have a cute nurse too then?
All right. Well, glad to get it. I'll tell you.
Well, that's good. Now, did your wife get it too, or just you?
She got it. I got a thing. Somebody posted something on this bulletin board called Next Door. It's like a local BBS, and it said, hey, go to this website for the city and sign up. So I signed up, and then it said, you have a 2 o'clock appointment. And we went there about an hour early, and we were out of there by around 3 o'clock.
That's really good news. I mean, so now, Tim, what about you? Did you get your shot?
No, I'm not old enough or sick enough to move that far forward in the line.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. That's it.
Well, I got exposed on a gig. I've worked 4 days since last March, and I spent 2 days on a Nutcracker streaming. Basically, I was working as a weight loader and an assistant carpenter, and the other weight loader I worked with is a hospital chaplain. So we put the show in on Friday. They shoot the show on Saturday. I show up for the strike on Saturday night. And on Wednesday morning, I get a phone call from my buddy telling me that he tested positive at work that morning.
So what went through your mind? What went through your mind when all of a sudden, you know, that happened to you?
Well, a number of things, most of which have to do with the ballet company. You know, the worst part of it was I'm looking at my watch going, great, and the health department's closing their testing site in 40 minutes. So I just said, well, hell, I live by myself. I'm just going to stay home I'm going to isolate. So I isolated for 14 days, monitored my temperature, never developed any other symptoms. And so here I am.
Well, good. It's good to have you here.
The stagecraft side of this wasn't so bad because to a certain extent, I have actually done training for my IA local. And so except for things where you really do have to work together, like counterweight loading, You know, you can get two guys working on an electric bat and they can, you know, they don't have to work necessarily right next to each other. So that's not so bad. But I guess the, from the dancing side of it, it was quite the extravaganza in putting 40 dancers in a 30 person green room, which was not necessary because the facility already had designated space for them to be in. And it turns out this is the final part of this goes with compliance. Compliance has to be something people want. And the thing is, apparently what happened in this case was a performing arts center employee put together the COVID compliance plan for the ballet company, got it approved by the county health department, put all the paperwork in the envelope with all their other rental documents, and the client never looked at it. And so when they were asked about why they were violating their compliance plan, they said, plan? What plan? We don't know about no stinking plan. So fortunately for on the stagecraft side of this, nobody got sick except the person who brought it with them. He was exposed, they think, the night before the first work call. So he probably wasn't contagious until after he left the building. Like I say, I work with him closer than anybody else. I didn't get sick. So, but the ballet dancers will never hear about because we didn't interact with them directly. None of us were close enough to them to be concerned with, but I would not be surprised if they have kids get sick and adults get sick.
That's too bad. You know, Tom was telling me, and I hope I'm not violating any confidence here, Tom, that you were saying to me the toughest part of the job was at lunchtime, because you were saying you want to pop in there.
Yeah, so the particularly not specifically on this job last week, because there was, you know, only around 40 people, but the job I did before, there were 150 people. And so when you have a big lunch break and that many people, you have people sitting at a single table 6 feet apart under a giant canopy, all facing the same direction. And what happens is once they finish eating, it's human nature to want to turn and start talking to their neighbors. You're overcoming, you know, thousands of years of human behavior, because people A, haven't seen the lower part of somebody's face all day, and B, they're sitting in an area around their friends or their coworkers. So that's the most dangerous time of the day right there, because the masks are off, they just finished eating, and they want to start chatting, or they want to turn around and talk to the person behind them, even though you're outdoors. So
what do? You go over and play cop, and you go, so guys, when you're done eating, you really need to put your mask back on. Is that it?
The first day I was on the site, I saw it, and I went, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. And so the next day I had posted signs, once you're finished eating, please put your mask back on. No one had clarified that, you know. And you know, people are sick of wearing a mask they've been wearing a mask for 5.5 hours. They're sick of it. So, yeah, you have to be the friendly adult-ish.
You know, one thing
sent you a message, Ken.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
One thing that happened to me today. So I had to be in a situation where I needed some vendors to come into my office for the air conditioner. One guy was wearing a mask and the other guy was wearing a mask. And I noticed that the mask just fell just below his nose. I was wearing a KN95 mask, and it wasn't, but I felt that I needed to say something to him. But instead I talked to his boss and I said, hey, you might want to tell your employee that he should cover his nose as well, because the mask doesn't do you any good if it's not covering your whole nose and mouth. So, but is there a way that anyone in this room feels that it would be, I don't know, politically correct, so that you don't get somebody to pull a gun on you, say, none of your business how I wear my mask, you know, that's why I'm wearing a mask. Is there anybody have any ideas on that?
Well, when I was working a few months ago, and I was working closely with a few people, it happened to be in Las Vegas for a day, and one of the guys had their mask down off their nose. Oh man, talk about uncomfortable and awkward. That was like, I said, how am I going to say something to this guy? I'm working right next to him. And I'm like, you know, just for a moment, I'm working with him for 2 minutes maybe. But, you know, I was like, hey man, can you do us all a favor and put your mask up? He's like, and he was so apologetic. but who knows how they're going to react when you ask them to do that.
I mean, do you think it would be a good idea if you see somebody wearing the mask down, you start going, you know?
That's probably not the way to get the point across, but possibly pointing at your nose, something maybe. I don't
Jen,
know.
You know that those big red clown balls? Maybe you just carry a few of those and hand them out.
Yeah, I don't know what there's got to be a phrase, though, that you can use every time that won't offend anybody. Somebody must know what it is. But it worked that time. I was thankful that he didn't like pull out a gun and, you know, really get pissed off at me for asking him to put his mask up over his nose. But he didn't. So I was lucky.
Yeah. Brian, now you see a lot of people in various aspects like that. Is there any recommendations you have? Especially, you know, you're in the South, you know?
You know, it's almost everywhere I'm going, the masks are on, even in the South, when you're inside the building. Now, if you're outside and nobody's within 100 yards of you, you'll see people take their mask off their face while they're walking, you know. But, you know, I go back to sort of the same approach I took with people smoking, because I'm highly sensitive to cigarette smoke. You know, it's just like, hey, give me a break. Would you please slip your mask up or put it on, or, you know, just something, you know, polite and go from there. But, you know, I did walk out of a restaurant one time because the cook was not wearing a mask back there. And I asked him once before they prepped my food to do it, and he didn't take care of it. So I just turned around and left, didn't pay for the order, and walked out the door, didn't take the order. But, I mean, probably 99 out of 100 times people do it if you ask them.
Yeah. I mean, is there a reason why North Carolina is in the South and not the North?
Because Virginia is about as far as South as most people want to go.
It just seems to me North Carolina, it's a misnomer. It shouldn't be.
Well, you know, it's just like South Dakota's been the North.
Yeah, it's pretty much amazing, you know.
And there's no East Virginia.
No East Virginia. I wonder why. Any answer? Anybody follow?
East Virginia must be some other state like New Jersey or something.
Pennsylvania, you know. Could be North Carolina, but no.
You're water when you get east of Virginia.
So has anybody ever
That's right. It's the Atlantic Ocean. That's right.
There's a Discovery show called How the States Got Their Shapes.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Right. And every episode is a state or two. And they also, not just the shape of the states, which are hugely interesting, but they talk about the history of how they got their names and why the East and West. And to be honest with you, I don't remember the Virginia thing, but I do remember there was a lot of great, you know, information about it in there that was, you know, you're curious about, you know.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good one.
And to that point, Texas is the only state in the Union, but the condition for Texas joining the Union, they have the right, without having to have Congress's approval, to split Texas into 5 separate states.
What are they called?
They have the right at a future date, if they're so choosing, they can divide the state into 5 separate states.
I see.
And Congress doesn't have to. Congress can't stop it. That was part of the condition of moving into the Texas joining the United States.
I guess that is why Texas can't secede from the United States, because that was the trade agreement that they gave them, that you can't secede, but you can break into 5. But then that wouldn't make any financial sense for them, because then they would lose the ability to generate revenue from all parts of the state. So that's probably why they didn't do it.
Wherever Austin is, that's the state I want to be in Texas.
That's where Paul is from, but his wife just called him out. So, you know, that was it. You know, he's a smart man. He knows when it's time to get off the Zoom, you know, move into that. But I like that Band-Aid, Tom. It almost makes me feel like, you know, like that's your rank. You're one rank above us. You know, it's like, I got a yes, sir, Mr. Sauce. Yes, sir. You know, so anyway, we've covered a lot of stuff, a lot of information. And now something very important I'd like to have David Dansky talk about is the chicken sandwich wars. And because I think that this is important for all of us to know about the fried chicken aspect of our lives. David, you want to talk about that?
Well, I don't eat, in a busy day, it's really nice to be able to just do a drive-through if it's not that bad for you. And I just don't eat meat in these fast food places, but I do eat chicken. So I'm kind of on top of who's got the best chicken sandwiches. And when Popeyes came out with theirs, I was one of the first people online, and yeah, they're really good. But as it turns out, I just found out that chicken sandwiches make up more than twice as many meals as meat does in all the fast food places. 2-1 chicken.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that?
The market is huge. Anyway, I just found out that, all the stores realize it. I mean, there's a lot of money involved. Chick-fil-A is now number 3 in the United States after Starbucks and McDonald's. So that kind of tells you what's going on. But Kentucky Fried Chicken, which has really only been chicken breasts and wings and thighs, has now joined the fight. And they've come up with a chicken sandwich that looks amazing, a 1/4-pound chicken sandwich. And other than you looking it up and, you know, trying to find the articles that are starting to come out about it, I think it's a nice alternative to, a donut.
And so what's your favorite chicken sandwich then, David?
Well, up until now, the easiest and fastest for me was the McDonald's McChicken. I don't eat the bread, so I just eat the sandwich itself. So I get a couple or three of those and do my drive-through, and I move on with my day. It takes a few minutes, and that's it.
Now, is it legal?
That's a grilled chicken or fried?
No, I like fried. Unfortunately for my body, I like fried much better than grilled.
Is it legal for McDonald's to call their chicken chicken?
Well, you know, who decided what the nuggets are?
That's right. What are the nuggets anyway?
Have you guys had Carl Jr.'s Santa Fe chicken sandwich?
No.
Oh my God!
Which one is that? I know that I have. I know that I have a Carl's Jr. chicken sandwich that I love. I only know the number. It's number 14.
It's grilled chicken. It's not deep fried, and it's got one of those big peppers on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the one. That is the best.
And their cheese sauce. Oh my God! It's just phenomenal.
So good, David. You got to try that sometime and have it with the bun. Real good.
Santa Fe chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Don't eat it while you're driving, though.
Number 14, yeah.
Yeah, so when you buy food at the drive-in, how long does it last? Does it ever get to where you're going?
Well, I pull over. I actually pull over. I'm not going to drive and eat. That's crazy. Uh-huh. But I got to say, though, that the Popeyes chicken sandwiches are really good. I just don't have very many Popeyes near me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't eat fried food after my father told me never eat fried food again when he had his third heart attack. So I'm kind of allergic to eating fried food.
All right. Well,
I think anything in limitations, you know, I mean, now in Louisiana, I think, is Steve still in the room? I can't tell. Yeah, Steve.
Yes, he is.
Now, what do you got down there? What's the chicken situation down there? Is it, or did they substitute fish for it?
Well, you know, Popeye started here.
I didn't.
It started, yeah, in Araby, Louisiana, actually. And we have a local called Cane's, which was established from some guys from LSU, Baton Rouge, one of their projects, which they failed. but the chain has taken off. So, yeah, we don't have Kentucky Fried around here like we used to. They used to have several, but I think they might have one or two in the area.
Is there a place really called Mother Cluckers? Is that really true?
I believe there is. I haven't been there, though.
Tim, is it really a place like that, or is that something you made up to be humorous?
Both. there is one. I can't say I've eaten at it.
We do have a lot of fried chicken places, though.
Yeah, that sounds to me like the kind of place that they have to pay you to eat their food, you know? So it wouldn't be around very long, wouldn't be very successful. But I guess it's good for your cholesterol and good for your heart, eating all fried foods. So now, could somebody tell me what the attraction is to, what's the name of that place? We were just talking about it the other day. It's, David, what was the other chicken place we were talking about that we couldn't understand why people go there and there's not a lot of them there?
Hooters.
Hooters. I know why people go to Hooters, but that's a good thing.
it's about the udders, not the wings.
That's right. People go to Hooters for the breasts, not the wings. That's for sure.
I don't know. We were talking about Chick-fil-A at one point.
Chick-fil-A. That's it. Can anybody explain to me that what is so good about Chick-fil-A?
Oh my God. It's the best chicken ever. Come on. Besides the fact that like Bruce said, that Carl's Jr. thing, I know they're not necessarily the greatest company in the world, but man, their sandwiches and fries and things taste great. It's really good.
So you know why Popeyes had to stop their chicken sandwiches there for a bit was that Chick-fil-A owns the market on that size of meat that they use, and that Popeyes was buying the surplus. So when the chicken war went, Chick-fil-A has the first priority to all the vendors.
Aha. They bought up all the ingredients.
One of the big differences with Chick-fil-A is they use fresh peanut oil to fry everything in, as opposed to vegetable oil. Now, I didn't know that before I bought a sack of chicken sandwiches for my crew, and one of my guys is allergic to any peanut product at all. And he threw up within 15 seconds and had to go home. So,
holy shit, that's good to know. Thanks for sharing that.
Down here in Miami, it's Pollo Tropical, and it's not fried. It's marinated in a citrus and garlic sauce and served with black beans and rice.
That sounds delicious.
It sounds like El Pollo Loco, sort of, but only Miami stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and see, I don't get the Chick-fil-A thing either. I went to high school in Texas. There was a Chick-fil-A in the food court at every mall. It's just a chicken sandwich.
I never ate Chick-fil-A until probably 3 years ago or so, but I really like it.
But you go to Chick-fil-A in the morning and get the chicken, egg, and cheese bagel spicy version on a multi-grain bagel, and it is phenomenal.
They allow Chick-fil-A to sell bagels in Tennessee? Unbelievable.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
But they won't sell it to you on Sunday, Jan. They're not open on Sundays.
Well, but the other one too, Jan, you need to come to town. If you want true fried chicken, you need to come to Nashville and go to Prince's Hot Chicken. And you want to start with the medium. You don't want to do the extra hot because you weren't the right color.
Yeah.
You got to work up to it.
I turn red very easily. I can tell you that right now. But it's kind of interesting that we all delve into the fast food restaurants every once in a while. And it's interesting how chicken has become so popular. Another thing that I found was really amazing was the meatless hamburgers that they have. Now, beyond beef, I was really, the first time I had one was, I think it was at Burger King where they grill it. And as I took a bite, it seemed like there was some blood coming out, but it actually was beet juice.
It is. It's fantastic. And there's the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger are neck and neck for great tasting burgers, if you ask me.
You want to know what my favorite protein burger is? Cow. Dead cow.
Now, cows are going to protein burger. If we keep eating all that cow, we're going to destroy the ozone layer. Seriously.
No, eat them before they fart.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Before they fart.
Actually, you don't eat cows, by the way. I'm here in Kansas where we know which animal is which.
You eat cows.
And you eat steers.
Beef steers.
Yes. Cows get to have babies and provide milk. Steers got to lose some of their boy parts and become, you know, strip steaks and ribeyes and hamburger. Yeah. And the lucky few get to meet the cows.
Cow meat is very tough. It's also more yellowish than, but yeah, you know, you see these, you know, you see these, you see these, uh, you see these, uh, you know, animals that are on the side of the road that look like cows or steers or whatever. And I guess a city boy like myself, it would be very hard for me to distinguish the difference between a steer or a cow. A bull, I'd reckon it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, given how much you talk about dating and women, you would understand very quickly the difference.
Hey, unlike lighting guys, Jan tries to keep it within his own species.
That's right.
It's an animal. There's an utter difference between them.
And what I learned is a steer, you know, I learned what you call a steer without any legs. Ground beef. That's what you call it. Ground beef. So in case you haven't seen that.
Where's that rim shot when you need
it? You'll be here all week, folks.
Well, I think we've been
not going to get a good review.
Try the veal.
The one other thing I'll say about chicken, now that we brought that up, is the fact that Costco is sells about 1 billion chickens a year. Something ridiculously
well.
Ridiculous.
They have that great $5 deal where for $5 you get it fully cooked. All you got to do is heat it up. Great tasting chicken. It's amazing.
And that's the chicken my dogs get.
Aw, sorry. Well, a lot of people eat that too.
What?
Yeah, right.
No, you, the best burger, venison, baby. Venison's the way
good.
To go.
Venison's really, really good.
That's a good burger. Bison's good too.
Bison's good.
Yeah. Well, we all know what's good to eat. Everybody here knows what's good to eat. So basically, you know. And by the way, Costco loses money on every chicken. But the reason they do that is because they make you walk through the whole store before you can get to that chicken.
Yeah, it's always in the back.
It's called a loss leader. So, hey, if you're in New York City anytime, go to a place called Bear Burger. They have all the choices. You know, they have beef burgers. They have Impossible Burgers, Beyond Burgers. I think they probably even have turkey burgers. Yeah, Beyond Burgers. I mean, what's it called? Bear Burger is so great. Great stuff. And great dessert.
And anyway, so if you eat too much of anything, you get sleepy. And that is the next topic that I want to talk about is sleep. Because Tom, you're wearing that Aura ring that helps you out. I wear the Apple Watch. But a lot of the data that you get, you just don't know what you're reading. And I found a very, very, very interesting article about how to actually interpret the data that you get from your watch, your ring, whatever, with CNN. And basically we're going to throw that into the chat for you to have it. But I found that really sleeping heart rate, breathing rate, and HVR, what your sleep data really means. And, you know, we all need good sleep. And we all need to get three different types of sleep, but the most important sleep is the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep. And without the right amount of sleep, we will never be the alert as we need to be to focus in on what's going on our day-to-day life. Right, Tom?
Yeah, 30 minutes of REM, 30 minutes of deep is the minimal amount you need on a nightly basis to be functioning well, and an hour of each is better.
Yeah. So anyway, so I did put the link in and it's fascinating. I'm not going to go into it right now, but I will say this. I want to thank everybody for coming, especially those people here in the Zoom room. For those people watching on Facebook and YouTube, you know how to join us. All I want you to do is, you know, send me an email, send me a DM. We'll send you the link. I don't put the links in Facebook and YouTube because I don't want to be Zoom bombed. So we do that. But if you've been watching this, please click the like button. Remember to share it with your friends. If you have Facebook pages, it would be really cool if you shared the links to the shows with everybody so that we could build up a bigger and more diverse audience out there so that, because this is a benefit. This really is a benefit. Too many people have told me how much they enjoy coming in and talking and sharing. And as you know, we try to keep it pretty light rather than talk about, you know, the most heaviest stuff. And so, you know, it's a good time for all. And we really try to give people an opportunity to join and belong, because it's really important in these days to feel like you belong to somebody that is there for you, not to take away from you. And that's what we do here. This is an empowering moment, and I really want you to share it with people. And so that's all I have to say. If anybody else have anything to say before we sign off to the outside world and we talk about them?
Get vaccinated as soon as you can. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I looked at the LA County website for vaccination. It looks like less than 75-year-old people are out of luck for another couple of weeks still.
Yeah. Well, all I could say is remember, you make it happen. So do what you got to do. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Stay away from Washington, D.C. You know, there's so much going on right now. Try not to inundate yourself with news. It's just not worth it. And remember, you know, there's so much fake news out there from so many different areas. Don't. And I want to say this because this is an important thing that I realize now, is that what's happening is that if you believe something to be true and it's possible to be true and your friends are all telling you that it's true, and then you go to a news media that tells you it's all true, it's very possible that you will start to believe it, because the mind can't tell what's different between what's real and what's vividly imagined. And that's a fact. And so the more input you get to verify what you are hearing, don't take anybody's word for it. Do your own research. Do your own research, and you will be much better off of that. So remember, you make it happen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place, 3:00 every Wednesday, West Coast time. And until then, you make it happen. And thank you very much for tuning in.
Thanks, Jen. Ciao.
All right. So now, as far as we go, let's shut this off here and stop the recording.